You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 351 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
Steve is here, and he is got it in the can right now.
In the cans.
Crikey.
I got to get new headphones. You got nice headphones, and I got these.
Bro, I was using those before you. You know, sorry, we had some headphones break. And yeah. Then he's like, hey, Mike, you know those headphones that I borrow every time I come over? They're not good enough.
So I know. Like, they're not.
Go get your own then.
I will.
God, you big baby.
I know.
Anyway, how's everybody doing? We're feeling great. That was just a joke, folks. We are just fine.
Except for my ears.
Except for his ears, of course. So it's episode 351.
351?
Yeah. I forget, 350 was last time. That's kind of a milestone though. I didn't even think about, but yeah. We're good to go. This episode we're going to be talking about Lovecraft adaptations. Now, there's no way we're going to be able to talk about every Lovecraft adaptation, okay? There's no way we're going to be talking about every film and mini, what do you call a short mini movie? but shorts that are totally based off a Lovecraft work or inspired by a Lovecraft work. But you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick two of them. And we're just going to talk about those two.
Well, I've got 67 prepared.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a first. Wow. That'll be a first to be all prepared for that.
But, joke's on you, buddy.
This is going to be a long one. I guess I'll buckle up. Here we go. Anyhow. Yeah, so.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, and the thing is every time we start, like, I mean, we've done shows with Lovecraft themes before. And whenever, I swear, whenever, like, we get into the subject of Lovecraft that I get really into it. I'll start reading all, like, I read through a Lovecraftian bestiary. That's like basically talks about all the aliens and the monsters and here and that and what stories they're from and what other stories they're mentioned in. And it's like I watched a documentary, I think in 2007, Guillermo del Toro was in it. Like a talking head, John Carpenter and a bunch of other experts, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And it was called Lovecraft, Fear of the Unknown. And it was really cool. It kind of just went through his life and, talked about, just touched on his story, stuff like that. Didn't really get into a lot of deep storyline, stuff like that. But, we did get in there and we did hear about his life. And it's funny because for as imaginative of stories that he wrote, he was kind of equally that boring as a guy.
Right.
But we don't want to talk about the kind of guy he is.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah, sure.
I have never read Lovecraft.
Have you tried to read it before?
Well, I have some of his books, like in paperback. It's always like, oh, I'll get to those.
Call of
Cthulhu and, you know, everything. I've never read any Lovecraft.
I haven't sat down and read anything, to be honest with you. However, what I have done is books on tape, stuff like that. And the thing is, as I was watching this Fear of the Unknown, I guess in the beginning he was more like this. And towards the end is when he started cultivating his whole mythos, stuff like that. He got a little bit better. But I remember reading or listening to Call of the Cthulhu. And man, that dude likes to use words that every time he would rather use a $5 word. Instead of, a quarter word.
Right,
and it's
sure.
And it's like, that's fine, but it's like, I mean, maybe I'm just a tard or whatever. Can you say tard, by the way? I
don't know if you can. No, you can't say tard anymore.
But it's like, I mean, I don't know anybody who has the ability to, unless you're like a Lovecraft guy, who can like sit there and piece together all these words in the dry way he prepares them.
Yeah.
You know, even in the, even in some of the little quote, not quotes, but like snippets that we would see here and there in that documentary, I'm like, man, that guy goes a roundabout way of saying this, you
right,
know,
kind right,
of
right, thing. Right.
But so, yeah, I mean, it's, but the thing is his ideas are amazing. You know, some people have thought that maybe it's a kind of a cheat, maybe, to be like, oh, it's so awful, the brain cannot understand it, you'll go mad, it's incomprehensible for the human brain. But it's like, you know, it's like, I mean, maybe that was a cop out, but maybe it's like, I mean, he was always known for the fear of the unknown,
right?
And
right.
That's what's the scariest thing. And so maybe he's just trying to put it that way, because I mean, later when he did In the Mountains of Madness, he was like, hey, by the way, there are some aliens there that have like tentacled pickles with starfish on the top. You know, I'm not, I mean, yeah, he described, yeah. But that's what they ended up
with
looking
penises.
Like with wings and stuff, you know.
And penises.
Yeah, well, if they were boys. But anyway, I think that there was a period where, like, I think he started off kind of like non world building a little
yeah,
bit, right?
Yeah.
Like with Herbert West, Reanimator, and stuff like that. And then by the end of it, he was creating this whole universe of the Elder Gods and all that stuff. And today, we are going to get into one of those, the Elder Gods and all that stuff, called The Dunwich Horror from 1970, which is our first film we're talking about today. And the second one is a film called The Resurrected, and from 1991, and it was directed by Dan O'Bannon. We'll get into this, right? But the same guy who directed Return of the Living Dead, and this was his next directorial project after Return of the Living Dead. And yet as horror fans, yeah, we like The Resurrected, but we don't know The Resurrected as well as Return of the Living Dead,
I don't think.
And I have an idea of why that was, and then there's like a real idea, but I can't wait to get that anyway. Anyhow, I did actually, like I said, I even watched Lurking Fear, another Lovecraft adaptation that we're not doing on the show. I watched, there was a, I can't remember what it was, but a black and white called the Cthulhu adaptation. I can't remember who did it. I just watched it the other day. But it was, yeah, it's really cool stuff. Anyway, wow, I kind of went off a little bit there. How was your day?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I actually, you know, I went to Lovecraft's gravesite.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, with a young lady back a long time ago. With a young lady I used to hang out with. And,
he used to philander with.
And it's
philander, is that a word?
In Providence, Rhode Island. Rhode Island.
Relayand.
At the Swan Point Cemetery.
That's cool, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
And it was like a family, you know, headstone. You know,
gotcha.
You know, uh-huh. It was standing up. And there it was, Howard Philip Lovecraft.
And you know what's great is like... the guy was that like Maine is Stephen King's. His was Providence, and you know it's like, I mean, he left to go to New York with his wife and stuff like that. But it's crazy like how these like small town introverts, you know.
Oh yeah, And Poe was what, Baltimore?
Baltimore,
right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's very interesting to me watching. I mean, I don't know if it was the greatest documentary I'll ever put together, but it did have Guillermo del Toro saying. He was kind of a weirdo and didn't get laid much. So, but it's like, I think that's, that was worth the price of admission alone, since the admission was zero because it was on YouTube. But anyway, let's see. I do have a couple of things I want to bring up. I just want to tell you, it's not on the subject of today, but I also watched a couple of movies. Night Swim.
I haven't seen that one yet. Yeah.
Night Swim, and I watched Imaginary, right?
Okay. Oh,
I believe Imaginary's PG-13. And Night Swim might be too, to be honest.
Right.
Because I don't remember anything about it that would, whatever. So, what we need to do maybe one day is do a Blumhouse show, right?
All
right. Because because I've always been of the opinion that Jason Blum, that you know, they started the Paranormal Activity series. They're the Conjuring.
Yeah.
They're the Insidious, right? And it's like, so they've come up with like a real solid entries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they also do a lot of garbage, right? And I'm not saying these are garbage. I'm saying like perceived. This is my perception from what I read online, people's opinions.
Yeah.
That both Night Swim and Imaginary were bad. I didn't really care for Imaginary. I'll be honest with you right now. But Night Swim was fine to me. I mean, it's not gonna knock down any doors or anything like that. But it was fine.
You see, now I've heard that Blumhouse is picked up. for Blair Witch.
Yes, it has. Uh-huh.
And people aren't very happy about that. You know.
Well, okay, so but here's the thing.
I mean, first, okay, go ahead. Go, sorry.
I was gonna say, so I've read, and I know that Jason Blum has the mindset. Okay, well, we could either make, you know, a $100 million tentpole type of movie, right?
Right. Right.
Or we could make, you know, $25 million movie, stuff like that, sure. Right? And it's like, and he does. I mean, it's all horror, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, maybe I don't know if that's 100% true, but as far as I know, that's what he does, right? And he's been very successful doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm curious about, like, so I mean, I like it. I like he gives people a foot in the door. You know, he, you know, because I mean, nobody's going to come off even with a nice, you know, like a short or something like that, like the Baghead, for instance. Right, I don't. I'm not saying Baghead's from them because I have no idea, but like that was from a short. You know, and there's and that happens all the time, right? Yeah. Like with Mama and other stuff like that. But the thing is, it gets a lot of people in the door, gets them their first, you know, shot. So that's I like that. I like it in that way. But I also noticed that they're all pretty polished. You know, there's that look. And they're, I mean, obviously they're still trying to make money, still, you know, trying to have a successful business. But, I mean, it's difficult to kind of say, where's the line who, I mean, you know, cause I'm not ready to say anything Blumhouse does sucks because the first Paranormal Activity scared the crap out of me, you know, when I came out. You know, and a lot of I really enjoy The Conjuring. I think, I can't remember if Sinister was one too, but it seems like it, if it wasn't, but the, you know, I'm saying there were some good ones. But it's just, I don't know. He seemed to be, but they did do that, the final trilogy of the Halloween series. They did that. They did that.
Get me going on that one, man.
I don't know. I don't think I have a lot of high expectations for a lot of those movies, but they did The Exorcist Believer with the same guy who did the Halloween guys. So it's like, you know, it's like online. Apparently they are the kiss of death, but I'm not ready to write them off.
Well, you know what?
I think his head's in the right place, well, at least.
For me, why are you fucking with Blair Witch? I'm sorry. The first one is amazing. I love that movie.
You can say that about anybody putting out any kind of.
But this is Blair Witch. I mean, come on,
bro. Have you seen Book of Shadows, Blair Witch Part 2?
Yeah, horrible.
It's amazing. You stop it right there. That was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in all my life. I love it. Okay. I actually do really enjoy it. I mean, it's silly as hell, but it's I like it.
But that first one is, come on. You remember the first one, hype around it, everything around
the
it.
The first one came out, it was like lightning struck. It was beautiful. And that was the movie. Everything came together to just make that the perfect timing for that movie, perfect style for that movie. The internet was finally coming out, so. And we weren't all jaded, and you know, so we believed shit that was on the internet back then.
I was jaded.
Well, you're not about the internet yet. I'm saying, like, we see someone on the internet, we're like, whatever, it's stupid. Right. You know? But back then, we're like, oh my gosh, are you telling me this is real? Because look, it's got a website, you know, Burkittsville or whatever. And I get it. I mean, but there's also a Blair Witch, like another one where one of the guys, and it's like, this fine.
But still, not trying to redo the first one.
Is that what this one is?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't
so
know.
So I'll probably watch it. You're pretty mad about something you don't even know if they're doing
Absolutely.
Yet.
Absolutely. My bad. Yes, I am.
You and everyone else on the internet. Anyway, so I don't know. I did see Lisa Frankenstein, by the way. I like it.
Oh, and
Diablo Cody is pretty good.
Yeah.
It was, but the thing is, once you, I figured, remember Diablo Cody did like movies like Juno and Jennifer's Body.
No.
And I think it was Juno, but I was like, after I watched Juno for about 10 minutes, I'm like, I am too old for this shit, right? The way they talk here, I kind of want to jump off a bridge, but I'm like, well, this movie's not made for me, right?
Right.
I'm too old for it, but I mean, whatever. Good for these guys. I did like Jennifer's Body good enough, you know, but I knew that, so I was preparing myself for the weird way they talk to each other, right?
Right.
Like, hey, look how cool we are. We're, you know, and it's like, okay.
Hold on. Do we have the same thing on again?
What do you mean?
Black cargo shorts, hoodie, ball cap.
Yep. Dude, we're twinners again. Dude, it's what dudes of a certain age wear.
I just always wear the same thing.
Well, I always wear the same thing.
I invented this look.
No, you did not invent it. I saw a picture. You were wearing I saw one time you in a video when you were younger, you were wearing a striped polo shirt. So you can just suck it.
That's true.
Up yours, Steve.
It was because my mom made me wear it
Bro, you're like 37.
No way.
I'm
no.
just teasing. All right. Why don't we do this? Yeah. Steven, you've prepared a bone saw for us.
Well, I don't know about prepared, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's play the jingle. We'll,
well
be right
on,
back.
Hold on. I want to say I'm kind of excited today.
Why?
I'm going to tell you. This is off. This is like off. High on Fire released a new album today. Cometh the Storm.
How dare they?
Dude.
It's Taylor Swift Day.
I'm two songs in, and already I think this is the best heavy metal
no
album
way.
Of the fucking year.
Okay.
Yes. If they're going to, this is definitely Grammy material again.
I'll have to check that out.
For Matt Pike and Jeff. And
I've heard nothing but Taylor Swift, and I'm like trying not to barf up my guts.
You know, I don't know.
Listen, I'm trying not to piss my wife off because we have a nice evening planned tonight.
Yeah.
So it's like we got to, so I'm just like, you know. We're going to go out. We're going to have a nice date. And I'm not going to say shit about Taylor Swift because if I do,
right,
that all night's going to be weird. So
how are you going to not?
Bro, I'm a strong.
You know, you're going to go to Applebee's.
We're going to get there.
You're going to go to TGI Fridays.
We're going to go to Chili's,
She's going to put $20 in of the jukebox of all Taylor Swift.
Oh, she's going to play because maybe the new album won't be in there yet, so she'll play 10-minute Taylor's version All So Well 18 times, so we'll hear it like four times, and then the rest of the people have to listen to it 12 times after we're gone.
And also, Melvins dropped an album apparently today.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, which I haven't heard yet.
Melvins open up for Napalm Death.
That was a great show. Yeah. That was a great fucking.
That's the last time I even heard of those guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, they're like 30 albums
dead. What did I just say? I said that last time I heard of them.
I know. Melvins are amazing. I love them. High on Fire, one of the best.
Nice. So let's get in. Let's play this real quick and we'll get into the bone saw.
All right, we're back, and today we're going to. Mike is letting me do for
no,
the.
No, not letting.
Yes.
Okay, not no, letting.
Yeah, you
no,
told
I'm, it's not like I'm
Mike
allowing
told
you.
Me.
No,
Mike told me.
No, I will let you whenever you want. You like I'm some kind of podcast tyrant or something, you know? Jeez, get out of here.
I get to. It's my privilege.
I'm a smack, Steve.
To give the bone saw. The bone saw, what you guys have been waiting for. Today, I'm going to, for my very first bone saw, I'm going to give it to. If you're on Instagram, Mike, you're on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram.
I know because I
do you want to know why I'm on Instagram? I rarely look at Instagram, right? But I do get a reel sent to me from my daughter, my wife, and Steve. And let's just say the ones that Steve sends me, I can rarely send to my wife and daughter. But the ones that my wife and daughter send me, I can always, if I think they're funny, send them to Steve. Now, you work that out in your brains trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah. Okay, going to... Spooks and Ghouls.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that's all one word, Spooks and Ghouls, with two double Zs on the end. This is Jen. I reached out to her a little bit, and maybe I don't know if I came off creepy or not. But
bro, you come off creepy right now, and I know you.
And we're just sitting across from the table. We've known each other for years.
I tease, bro.
That's true. You know, but Jen, if you hear this, I came off creepy. I didn't mean to. I absolutely really like her content. Her content is, she says, it's all things horror. She's got 70,400 followers.
Jeez,
yeah, that's not bad.
That's a lot. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And she does a really great job every day putting out new content, all horror movies, and not just horror movies, but other types of movies that are maybe drama or whatnot and stuff in there around. So, you know, I think she does an awesome job of keeping up. I think she has great taste in horror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a big fan of like The Others and stuff. Like, she does more modern stuff. She's kind of keeping up to date, you know, with new horror that's coming out.
You sent her to me, and I've looked at it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She does little things, like, almost every day, or maybe every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, and so she keeps up with it. And that was one thing I'm like, oh, my gosh, she is dedicated every
single
day.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Jen, you get our Bone Saw Award with Spooks
bro,
and Ghouls.
Bro.
What?
You're like, I don't want to come off as creepy. You're like, Jen, you get our bones.
Saw. No, come on. It's true. I didn't mean that. Okay.
Come on, bro.
And she just lost her puppy. Her pup just died. Prince.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I gotta hear about this now.
No. I'm just teasing. I'm just saying send her some love, you know, and if you don't follow her, you know, give her, you know, look her up and follow her content. I think it's really good quality stuff.
Well, cool, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
She's awesome. Oh, you bet. Bonesaw.
You know what? And we also got a call. You know, we're just gonna get right into the call too. Yeah.
Holy shit. We got a call. I can't believe it.
I know.
Who called us?
Well, aren't you about to find out?
I'm going to find out with everybody else.
The thing is funny because it's like
I don't know.
I would play the intro, yeah. But it's not answer the question of the episode. So we're just gonna let it fly.
Okay.
Let's see. What's the on three? Sorry, unmute it. Mm-hmm. We're real professional here.
Okay.
All right.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
This is Darian calling from the Padded Room Podcast.
Padded Room Podcast.
Mike Cadaver.
I don't know.
I've been listening for a while. I've just been too lazy to fucking call in.
That makes sense.
But listen, last episode you did voodoo movies.
Yeah.
I would like to talk to you about doo-doo movies,
mm-hmm.
And that would be the two sequels to Skeleton Key.
What?
I know you like the first one. I'm going to tell you to stop.
I didn't say I liked the first one.
No, he didn't like the first one. And I said it was kind of a comfort food thing
to me.
It was okay.
Meh.
Well, Steve didn't like it because he hates when the white god comes down and saves the natives. He can't stand it. He's standing up for the oppressed always. It gets irritating, you guys.
You gotta admit it's a bit dated.
Bro,
and not in a
good
way.
It's less than 20 years old. It's less than 20 years. No. Anything from before 2016 is dated.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be like this, bro. I'm telling you exactly when it happened is right when Donald Trump started running for president, the fucking world went mad and nobody could handle anything anymore. I'm not giving anybody any kind of like president. I'm not saying I back Trump. I'm not saying anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but once he came up, you people lost
minds. See, there you are with the you people.
Well, actually, you know what I'm doing tonight? So we're going to go down to the local ethnic swap meet, and I'm going to go save everybody down there. So with religion, and because it's kind of a white savior
you're gonna
type
go,
of thing.
You're going to get your Bible out again.
And you're gonna die. You're just not going to like it.
You got your $60 Bible.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, here you go. Yeah, come to me, you heathens. All right, here we go. Sorry, Darian.
Right now, and not watch any more of those movies because the rest are trash.
I didn't even know there were.
Don't have anything to do with anything. And speaking of trash, I am on my fifth attempt to watch The Lift by Dick Mouse.
By Dick Mass.
I don't know. I just Dick get Mouse. To the point where the guy's drunkenly trying to fuck his girlfriend in front of everybody.
Oh, that's
elevator.
A good one. Yeah, yeah.
And then I just move on with my life. So I'm
He's
gonna
smart
have to
man.
Power through that at some point and
smart man.
Hang out with Dick Mouse, I guess. I don't know.
Dick Moss, bro.
All right, gentlemen,
Dick Mouse
keep up
is
the
better.
Good work. I'll be calling in more regularly now. By
Most
the way,
of you do.
Padded Room Podcast, paddedroompodcast.com,
600.
13 years now.
Oh.
Over 600 episodes.
Yeah.
I expect a bone saw in my mailbox any day now.
Well, I guess he just gave himself one.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Darian.
Talk to you next show.
You know, Darian's great. Here's why. So when me and Shane started the show back in 2012, which by the way is, what am I, 2012? That's wait, his is, did he say 13?
Yeah.
Ours is only 12.
Huh.
I'm calling bullshit, Darian. I think we are first.
Because he
just
knows
kidding. I don't know when it started, but no, he came out from he lives in Reno and around there, and his guys came out and we did a show from Burt's.
Oh my God!
You know, a long time ago,
Burt's Tiki Lounge, is now a high-end sushi restaurant.
Yeah, suffer.
And anytime I go and eat sushi there, I kind of cry in the corner, kind of sit in the corner. I'm like, remember when Nashville Pussy, you know, played right here,
dude? I can look at that metal beam in the middle. Go, do you know how many times I slipped on blood, hit my head on that thing?
Yeah, so you know how many times I peed in that corner?
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if I could. The smell's very faint, but it lives on.
I wonder how they got the smell out of.
I think they had to gut that whole thing, bro. That thing was just. I can't believe it's still. I can't believe the health inspector.
Oh man, I miss Burt's.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh yeah,
but no, he came out and then we did that. Yeah, man, it's like, geez, we should do something like that again. Go down to Reno, maybe.
I'm not going to Reno.
Okay, well.
I'll go to Reno, okay.
Fine. Or I don't know. I don't know. I've never been to Reno.
You've never been to Reno?
No.
Ooh.
What's wrong with Reno?
Rough.
Like a lot of dogs? Is that what you're saying? Like
No, actually, there's some... I like to, every time I go to Reno, I like to eat at the, what is it, the Cal Neve. I go to the Cal Neve Casino only for the restaurant there. It's got decent food for decent prices.
Yeah, I've never, I've been to Wendover, obviously. I've been to, what's the place between Wendover on that road on the way to Reno?
Truckee.
What? No, it's,
From here or from?
No, from here okay. to
what, Wendover. Winnemucca? Battle Mountain?
No, it's Elko. It's Elko. I've been to Elko, Nevada. And like, when I used to be on a movie, it's been 30 years, 25 years since I've been there. I was on the moving company. We'd also move people in and out of there.
All right.
And it was like, we used to say over under five looking at people and we met their teeth. So it was, that's a wild place.
I resemble that.
But anyway, cool. So thanks, Darian, for calling in. And I don't know, it's very hard to be nominated for a bone saw because it's such a prestigious award.
It is prestigious.
It's prestigious.
Prestigious.
Prestigious. Bro, it just went up a notch.
Yeah.
It went
you
from
see?
Prestigious
see what
to
I just did there?
Good there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we get into the show finally?
Let's do it.
So
we're knee deep. We're balls deep in the show.
And we're already doing it. And I'm just going to give a little taste of what we're going to be talking about.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
H.P. Lovecraft, the father of cosmicism in literature. Cosmicism. How's that?
Is that a word? Or did you just,
I may have just
cosmicism?
Made that up. Which is a mixture of astral concepts, alien indifference, and to quote Winston Zeddemore from the Ghostbusters, shit that will turn you white.
I'm pretty white as it is.
Yeah, we can't say that, but Winston can.
No, but it's true.
So like we were talking about earlier, in his time, he created his own universe people are still adding to. You've heard of the Lovecraftian concepts in films and literature, as well as the Cthulhu mythos, which there's tons of movies and tons of books. Like people, as I was watching the documentary, their names are in that. I feel like that's a pretty decent talking head documentary to get you kind of a 101 class on Lovecraft. Anyways, people have been adding to the mythos and just like it's canon or so. I don't know how they do all that because I don't even know. Remember when you used to watch a show and like it was like, oh shoot, that's a cool episode of Roseanne or of like Cheers or something like that. You didn't know that was season two episode because we just saw it on the TV. And like then like, oh, is this in this universe? What the shit? I never knew about that. This is in the Star Wars universe and blah. Like, okay.
You can do that with I'm learning this all new.
Yes. I'm saying they're still adding it. I don't know what people consider to be canon or what or whatever. So I'm not even going to get into that. But over this podcast time, 13 years and 1 month, okay, we've done multiple direct Lovecraft adaptations as well as films that are very Lovecraftian. I think the main thing that I enjoy about Lovecraft, I mean, I did love Reanimator and that stuff, but I love just the whole mythos with the elder gods, with Cthulhu, the Mego, the deep ones, the old ones, the elder things, the Shoggoth, and so on and so forth. Like I said, he said sometimes things are too much for our human brains, but sometimes he doesn't do that. But anyway, it's because all these reasons and he has witches, he has cosmic mathematics that make bridges to the stars. He cultivates all this all by himself in his room. Because he's kind of a weird, racist old bastard, right? He does all this, but and his imagination is crazy. It's all these reasons that it's difficult to make an exceptional adaptation straight from a Lovecraftian work, in my opinion, on film. You know, for instance, we talk about The Color Out of Space.
Yeah,
you know, I watched that, and I loved the movie, thought the movie was great. But the answer is purple, maybe chartreuse. That's the color out of space, you know, instead of
there you go.
I mean, but he described it as a sentient color, like things that are like, what the shit does that even mean? Type of thing, you know,
right.
Like our puny human brains cannot grasp it. And I like that. I like that part of it. And I like just things that don't really make sense, but you think about it and like, maybe it could somehow, who knows? Anyway, we've chosen a couple of movies that do their best at attempting to describe and present themselves as adaptations of Lovecraft's work. Why don't we start by listening to a trailer of The Dunwich Horror from 1970? I added that last part, sorry.
The nights are darker. And night is when it happens in the Dunwich Horror. Come back, old one, princes of darkness, and repossess the earth. The Dunwich Horror, based on H.P. Lovecraft's terrifying tale of those who explore the unspeakable. Starring Sandra Dee, Dean Stockwell, Academy Award winner Ed Begley, Sam Jaffe. He believes the history of horrendipity written here. The love story of a girl looking to the future. And a boy dedicated to the mysteries of the past. He invokes the unspeakable.
Yah, Satha.
She invites it.
You're one of us now.
Depthless paradise of terror where fear eternal lives. And the dead come to life.
I've never heard anything like that.
All right, we are back. And Mike, right off the bat, I've got to make a correction that everybody makes. According to IMDb, we are all saying Dunwich incorrectly.
How do you say it?
Dunwich. I swear to you. I looked it up. I double looked at it. And that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
How do you pronounce Cthulhu?
I don't know. I didn't look up that Cthulhu. I don't know. But Dunwich, it's not Dunwich. It's Dunwich.
Is it like Greenwich is Greenwich?
Right.
So it's Dunwich?
Dunwich.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. According to IMDb, and if you don't like it, take it up with them. So the Dunwich Horror 1970 IMDb does give it a 5.4.
Decent.
Okay. Roger Corman brought to you, this is produced by the one, the only Roger Corman. If you don't know who Roger Corman, look up Roger Corman. Also, Samuel Z. Arkoff. Now, have you ever heard of Samuel Z. Arkoff?
Yeah, he was a producer of
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
Now, Mike, do you know about the Arkoff formula?
I do not.
Ah.
Oh, dear.
Here we go. I happen to have. I'm extra prepared today.
Oh, dear.
The Arkoff formula, according to Samuel Z. Arkoff, this is what he felt like that went into making a good movie.
Okay.
And for somebody who did hundreds of productions.
Yes,
Yeah. First of all, it's an acronym of his last name, Arkoff. Right.
Of course
right.
It is.
So first, action. It's going to be exciting, entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Drama. Revolution. A novel or conversational theme or ideas.
Okay.
Revolution. Mm-hmm. That's the R. K, killing. Going to have a modicum of violence.
Duh.
Yeah. O, oratory. It's got to have a notable dialogue and speeches. The first F for fantasy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, fantasy acted out. Fantasies common to the audience. And the second F, can you guess what the second F is?
Fun bags.
Fornication.
Oh, I was close.
Sex appeal for young adults.
Yeah, sure. I get that.
And this is directed by Daniel Heller. Now, Daniel Heller started out, he met Corman in the 50s, and Corman convinced him into becoming a set director, did a bunch of stuff for Roger Corman as a set director, like one of my personal favorites, Pit in the Pendulum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also, he, you know, and then he started directing you know, with Roger Corman. And this is one, what did he do, The Devil's Angels?
Devil's Angels from 1967.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, did this sound like I knew what I was talking about? It was just in my notes, so, just so you know.
And then, and so then he did this one. Now, this is starring Sandra Dee. Now, this is Sandra Dee's turn from going to be a child teen actress to an adult actor. I mean,
not
adult,
an adult, adult,
but as an adult, you know, and she is Nancy Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one only Dean Stockwell as Wilbur Wheatley.
Dude, nobody got that. That's younger than us. By
yeah,
the way.
I know. I know. Then Ed Begley. And this is probably one of the last productions Ed Begley was in.
Yeah.
Since he died in 70.
I think it was his last one.
Dr. Henry Armitage.
You didn't even bring up with Dean Stockwell how he would help Sam Beckett jump from life, quantum leap from life to life.
Oh, that's right.
Making right what once went wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe the next jump will be his jump home.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you.
Leap. I meant leap, not jump.
Lloyd Botcher as Dr. Corey. Sam Jaffe is old Whately. And then Talia Shire. But she's not Talia Shire in the movie. She's Nurse Cora. She is under Talia Coppola.
Oh. That's before her. Yeah, it's before her and Rocky made a baby.
Yeah, that's right. So Talia Shire from Rocky, her brother,
Francis Ford Coppola.
That's the man.
No,
that's
her
brother. Yep, yep, yep. So Dr. Henry Armitage delivers a lecture on the mysterious book called
the Necronomicon. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's all right.
Sorry,
no, you're good. You're good. Yeah, yeah. He then returns the book to the library at the Miskatonic, took me a minute to pronounce that one, University in Arkham, Massachusetts. His students, Nancy Wagner, is followed there to the library by a strange man who then introduces himself as Wilbur Wheatley. I guess you can get anything at the library. Oh, they just happen to have the one and only copy of the Necronomicon. Wilbur has taken some serious interest in the Necronomicon, and then asks if he can see it. This is the one and only copy known to exist. Nancy reluctantly lets Wilbur see it, and is only very quickly because the library is closing. Falling under Wilbur's hypnotic gaze, Nancy...
G-A-Z-E, guys. Settle down.
Yeah, gaze. Yeah. Nancy gives Wilbur a ride home, going against Dr. Whately's warnings because he gets another... Okay. Will Nancy get...
You mean Dr. Armitage.
Armitage, right.
Yes.
Oh, yep. Wrote that wrong. Will Nancy get Wilbur home safely? Will Wilbur be a gentleman? Will Wilbur sacrifice Nancy
to the
old ones?
Going, what the shit?
Watch the Dunwich Horror and find out.
Ooh,
Michael, tell me what you think.
Okay, so here's what I. Okay, so you have to start with how this looks. Number one.
Okay.
It's wild. It's like far out, man.
It
was filmed in the late '60s. And you know, it was released in 70, obviously, but it's like, man, do you have all the colors and all like the far out, like, camera tricks and all this stuff
Right.
It's like, you even have a dream where there's a bunch of, painted up hippies doing hippy dippy things all around.
That's your favorite. I know that.
No, yeah, I love hippies a lot. And, no, but it's like, but yeah, Sandra Dee is no longer the teeny bopper idol. She is now. And like,
the adult, wait, the
Wilbur,
adult.
Wilbur's like, let me ask you something. How do you feel about sex? Like, I'm like, bro, that was, it's forward,
that was right,
that's
right,
forward
right,
for now,
right.
Bro.
I know I just met like, you in a library in college, like, but with the Necronomicon. Yeah.
But honestly, this movie is great. And I think it has a lot to do with the story itself. And maybe, I mean, the movie was fine, but I think the story, because I mean, it was like, I was saying that, like, you can't, it's hard to put like a monster or an Eldergon, especially back then, to a visual representation of it, right? This one looked kind of like there was some that looked like a giant, like, you know, when you go into a car wash and there's that big thing that flops around with all the, kind of looks like that a little bit. And then it looks like a sun with, you know, like snakes coming up. But anyways, but the thing is the cool thing about this is like, so here's, he's trying to get the Necronomicon because basically, And if you've read the story or know what the story is, they're trying to open a path. Yog-Sothoth. Yog-Sothoth.
Right, Yog-Sothoth.
They're trying to get Yog-Sothoth, which is Wilbur. Okay, so you see this, and there's like, not to give too much away if you don't know the story, but this at the very beginning, there's a mother who gave a birth, and it looked like a very ritualistic birth. You know, I'm not going to even go into it. I'm just going to say, but there's a secret there, and they're trying to open up a gateway to the outer gods. From the text, I even wrote this down. Yog-Sothoth, known as the gate, knows the gate. Yog-Sothoth is the gate. Yog-Sothoth is the key and the guardian of the gate. Past, present, future are all one in Yog-Sothoth. He knows where the old ones broke through of old and where they shall break through again. And so he's basically trying to bring the end of the world.
Right.
But the thing is, the story's great. You know, it's weird that I have a question for you. Do you remember how... there was like a small town posse. The town didn't like him, and the posse kind of tracked him down. Didn't want him to bury his grandpa. Stuff
oh
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
We usually hate like small town posses, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
These suckers are right. You know, it's like well, you can't really get mad at them because I mean, without them, they were trying to stop the end of the world. They didn't maybe, but it's just cool. I thought
like in Halloween Kills.
Yes, exactly. Like an evil dice. Shut up. Are you serious right now? Give us there was one part that was so funny to me, though. There's one part where the ritual's going on towards the end, right?
Yeah.
And Dr. Armitage and Wilbur Whately are having they're screaming like little spells back at each other, right? And so Wilbur Whately would be like, Yog-Sothoth. And then Armitage would be like, Gegita, you know, back and forth and back and forth. And I'm thinking, you know what? This Armitage is smart. Because you remember the band Gegita from the 90s?
No.
All they want to do is to thank you. Well, even though I don't know who you are.
No,
you
I don't.
Let me change. You're lucky. They are the worst.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You look up Gegita.
No.
Okay, it sucks. It's and he's like, he's like the old ones. You do not want to come through this portal. Gegita, it will come in 20 years, and it will be the worst thing you've ever noticed, and you will like crumble under its cringeness. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like this movie. Anyway.
It's so funny.
He was like, Gegita. I'm like, what is Gegita? I can't remember what that is. Right. So I Googled it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this shithead.
And then the song came back.
Yeah, and I'm like,
relieved
oh.
the nightmare. Yeah,
I wish. You know, so and it's weird though because even though Sandra Dee was done with her teeny bopping thing, there was a nude scene. It didn't show anything. You dirty old men's wanted to see some.
Now hold on, I'm going to talk about that.
I'll let you go for them.
So Sandra Dee, yes, this was her breakout movie from Stop Being a Teen. You know, idol to now being a mature actress and whatnot. Now, in the conditions of making this, they have for the sex scenes and everything, there were two rooms.
Yes, this is what I was going to go. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. so you know, people were, a lot of the cast, a lot of the unnecessary gazers, peepers.
G-A-Z-E, guys. Yeah, settle down.
Peepers.
Yeah. What? Gaze. I just don't want them to get them mixed up, bro.
people peeping in on Sandra Dee trying to
it's like Hannah Montana when she first started.
Right,
like
right.
There was a dude at my work when I worked for this place like a long time ago, and he had a calendar counting down the days until Hannah Montana. What's her name?
That's creepy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you know,
Miley,
that there's
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, and you know, there's dudes like Sandra Dee. I wonder what that. I wonder what Sandra's D looks like. I just made that up. Why am I such a creep?
But here's the thing: is according to IMDb, also, is that a mistake in it. With the body double, is you can see that the length of her fingernails change.
Oh, you know,
when it's Sandra Dee to the body double.
You know what's funny?
Because the body double has shorter fingernails than Sandra Dee, so it cuts. When it cuts, you can see the length.
Did you notice it?
Yes, I did.
Because I never noticed things like that. I swear.
Yeah, I read the whole IMDb before.
Gotcha.
And
so you were looking for it.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Then so I'm like, oh shit, they're right. Like, holy shit.
This director's a dumb bitch.
Okay, so I think this movie probably was taken from a short, you know what I mean? And then
most of them are novellas, to be honest with you.
Right, and they really tried to stretch it out. I mean, 60 minutes would have been good. 90 minutes, I felt like it was a bit pushing it. Now, they do add a lot of, like, awesome, cool 60s that kind of reminded me of like Star Trek-y. You know, it did have a lot of great of that Roger Corman, Pit in the Pendulum, mm-hmm. Fall of the House of Usher feel of the early, you know. And then it also kind of reminded me of Devil's Reign.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, you know what I mean?
Just kind of that feel and like maybe the inside of the church and the inside of the Whateley house and stuff
Right. And so it's definitely a lot more like satanic than I expected. This is my first time seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen it before, right?
Yeah, I'd seen it before, yeah, for sure.
So this is my first time seeing it. So it was a lot more like cutting edge, like occulty than they did. Now, this is evidently is the first adaptation of Lovecraft's work.
Oh, to a movie, right? Oh, okay.
And so they really want to do it. Now, I liked it. I liked the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the hippy dippy trippy, mm-hmm. you know, out there imagery and everything. Mm-hmm. And the acting is what it is. And Dean Stockwell's great and everything.
I think Dean Stockwell was not. He didn't act like he does in
the eyes.
Yes.
Though. It's all in his
but
eyes.
He was very intense. And he spoke with a kind of a quiet, like
monotone.
Like, yes,
you know. But he's super creeper
he's,
guy.
He's
you know?
Wilbur Whateley.
He's fucking giving her a roofie and shit in the other room.
Yeah,
in her drink. Here, drink this. Don't you want to drink?
I promise you, there's something. There. Yeah, why don't you have some tea?
I didn't put anything that would me. Like,
I'm getting tired.
Turn
we
you into my
take
love
a long
slave.
Walk. Love slave. He's probably trying to do that. Sandra D too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Did I expect, you know, Sandra Dee to, you know, to even portray to get that far in the on the altar?
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. No, uh-huh. You know, so I was kind of surprised. This is definitely, I would recommend this for somebody if they haven't seen it, who's into camp, older horror, mm-hmm. you know, Roger Corman-esque type
definitely.
Of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the director, he went on to do all kinds of other stuff.
A lot of TV.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, he had
70s TV, like some of the best 70s TV.
You know, I think like, would you say like Airwolf or something?
He
like,
did
you know,
Airwolf. Or, he did like, just all the, you know, I swear it's like, I mean, directors in the 70s, I feel like they get different directors for different, like episodes. So it's like, I feel like everybody that was notable back then did at least one of like almost everything.
Right.
You know?
Right. Sure. So, but this is, I think that, if you're a fan of horror, classic horror, 70s horror, this has got to be in your library. It's one of those, you know.
I really enjoyed it. I also think what had a lot to do with it is just the Lovecraft. I think the Lovecraftian, like knowing it's a Lovecraftian, like being familiar with the story before watching it, even the first time, it's like it adds a bit of a mystery to it, you know, another. So I think that helped with it. Also, in the book, Wilbur Whateley is kind of a half monster type.
Well, yeah,
thing.
He's kind of like an Igor,
So I even watched the because there was another version that you mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was a version made for TV in like 2008 or 2009 that actually starred what's his name, the same guy, and I Dean Stockwell, he played Dr. Armitage in this one.
Oh, and I haven't seen it.
It was cheesy, and but I enjoyed it because it added a couple more things. For instance, there were three copies of the Necronomicon, but only one of them had page 751, and that's part of the book. You know, and it had kind of different. It was a little bit different, but even it had a 3-point something, and it sucked. And it looked terrible, and the acting was bad. But I'm watching it going, interesting.
Did they follow the Arkoff method?
No. Not at all.
That's where they went wrong.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it, so whatever.
Yep. Well, there you go.
I liked it.
Definitely, this is a must-have if you're a fan of classic horror.
I'm glad. I'm glad you liked it. I agree, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and play a trailer for The Resurrected from 1991, and we'll be right back to talk about it.
Then, from the author of Terror, H.P. Lovecraft. From the director of Return of the Living Dead.
There's no evil in what I do. So long as I do it rightly.
The Resurrected.
I struck depths that your little brain cannot fathom.
He lived centuries ago.
It is to be expected. The dead take much blood.
But for him, death was only the beginning.
The cops found eight. Count them, eight boxes of human remains. Turns out they've had a rash of tomb snatchings over in Europe.
Now, this wizard from the past.
Don't you understand what's going on down here, Lonnie? He beat death.
Has teamed with a man from the present.
Americans.
He's talking about bringing people back from the dead.
To create an evil that will last forever.
As the hunger grows, my control will surely weaken.
The best we can hope for it is to somehow diminish Charles's homicidal and cannibalistic impulses.
The curse of the formerly dead is the hunger.
And it will not be denied.
Chris Sarandon of Fright Night and Child's Play.
I've drawn down demons from the stars.
There'll be no salvation for thee.
John Terry of In Country and Full Metal Jacket. Jane Sibbett of television's The Famous Teddy Z.
The destinies of all things, living and dead, are mine.
The Resurrected.
All right, everybody, you just heard the trailer for The Resurrected from 1991. IMDb score as of today is 6.2, which is pretty decent, especially for a kind of a lost, forgotten movie.
I was a bit surprised.
It was high before or after?
After.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's wild. We're going to have to wrestle. We're going to have to, you know, take it to each other. Anyway, directed by Dan O'Bannon, obviously director of Return of the Living Dead. And he's more of a writer than he is a director in his career. He was a writer on the original Alien from 79, wrote Life Force.
He did. Didn't he do a bunch of stuff with Carpenter?
Yeah, he was on Dark Star and all that other stuff.
Right.
Movies
like Deborah Hill and Dan O'Bannon.
I can't remember exactly, but I know that. Yeah. Deborah Hill. And then. I think you're right. This star, John Terry, is John March. Jane Sibbett is Claire Ward, who is in every 90s sitcom and hour-long drama there was, the wife of Claire Ward. Starred Chris Sarandon as Charlie Dexter Ward, and I slash somebody, but I will not give it away.
Love her as I loved her.
Yes, exactly. That was perfect. Robert Romanus as Lonnie Peck, and we had a couple other people. Plot. Claire Ward, wife of Charles Dexter Ward, hires a private detective when her husband starts behaving very strangely. Mr. Ward is a very esteemed chemical engineer, Charles Dexter Ward. Just call him Mr. Ward. He's a very highly esteemed chemical engineer in Rhode Island, and I personally don't understand her problem was, because he was acting fine. He's like, shit, bitch, I got to get out of here. I ain't trying to have a party with all your dumbass friends, you know? So, and she's like, get out of my... Okay, just joking. But he started to spend a ton of time in the farmhouse where he set up his own little laboratory and stuff like that. And all this started when he was given a trunk from his ancestor, and it has all sorts of family trinkets and heirlooms. And he actually also visited an old family home in a nearby town where he found a painting of a man named Joseph Kerwin on the wall who bore a distinct resemblance to Mr. Charles Dexter Ward. As the investigation moves along, the private dick, John March, learns that Mr. Ward has been having many strange things delivered to him, namely human remains. He confronts Ward about these, but Ward is defensive, claiming they are for regular chemical experiments and aren't dangerous. Ward has moved the experiments from the farmhouse from his backyard to that old family cabin in the woods that he recently discovered. The townsfolk started complaining of the smell. As the investigation continues, Mrs. Ward and Mr. March visit Mr. Ward, and he looks very under the weather. So much so that he barely seems like himself. Man, I should be a narrator. Not, just kidding. I'm just getting into it, and it's like, I didn't realize that I was such a dramatic person all by myself.
I'm engulfed. I'm sure. I'm enthralled.
As the mystery unfolds, Mrs. Ward and Mr. March are drawn to a world of blood-drinking alchemy and necromancy. What is really going on with Charles Dexter Ward? What will Mrs. Ward and Mr. March find buried in the labyrinth of catacombs underneath the cabin in the woods? Why didn't this movie do as well as Return of the Living Dead, O'Bannon's previous effort? Find out by watching The Resurrected from 1991. And I have the answer to that last question. I'll tell you right now. You don't have to watch it for this one.
All right.
Had exactly 100% less Linnea Quigley boobies.
There you go.
So there you go. Just kidding. That's not really it, but...
every movie should have.
Yes, I agree. So what do you think?
Well... You know, I have to admit, Mike.
You were baked when you were watching this. I know. Because you kept texting me gifs of the people in it, and I'm like, bro, I'm like, who's this? Like, I didn't know. He's like, oh no, that's Chris Sarandon. I'm like, no shit, pal. No, I know who that is. Don't even pretend that you watch this.
So I don't take notes as much when I'm watching your movie with my movie.
Well, no, yeah, because you got it. No, I get that. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So is the gummies kicked in?
Shocking. Calling me shocked here.
First of all, I love Chris Sarandon. What happened to Chris Sarandon's career?
I don't know.
He went from Prince Humperdinck.
Yep, he did.
You know, and in Fright Night, help me out.
He was in The Sentinel. He was in, you know, he's in a ton of that old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then
what happened? Well, I guess, I don't know, Susan Sarandon and Tim, you know.
I don't know, F that B word. Just kidding. I don't know what happened. But if that was it, then I'm upset.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea. Anyway, so I was excited to see him, and I was also excited to see Damone,
yes.
from Fast Times.
He said that. I'm like, oh, is he even watching this movie, you guys? I'm like, oh dear, here we go.
So I liked it. You know, it's definitely 90s horror.
It's like late 80s. It was in the process of it. To me, it looked like the 80s. But yeah, you could tell it was a little, mostly for me, because of the people who are in it, namely the wife. She's
like 90s
pads, stable. Yes.
And the shoulder pads. And yeah. Oh my God. And I like the lightning and everything, the effects, the CGI effects and everything.
Bro,
awesome.
You're talking shit right now.
Dude, it's great.
Okay.
But I did think that it was a bit, I was expecting Mulder and Scully to come out any moment.
Well, you know what? It's funny because this is set up like Mulder and Scully are doing an investigation,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I did think it was funny. Here he's a private investigator and he's like, you know, and there were things like, oh, do you have your husband's social security number? You know, it's like, do you know how fucking illegal that is?
Bro, it was 1991.
I know. But it's like, now it's like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, it's classic, man.
I like
this one. This is, and I'm like, hold on. This is Fast Times at Ridgemont High meets
Fright Night.
You know, and, but dude, when he rips that guy's head off,
it's
beautiful. Awesome. It is awesome.
The practical effects there were amazing. Mm-hmm. The thing is, it takes a long time to get into it, right?
Yes.
Because, I think they're going a little bit for like the film noir, you know, here's a private dig. It's kind of like in a giallo, how like a reporter and a writer are trying to solve this case alongside of the police. You
An
know?
Elevator repairman.
Yes, exactly.
And a reporter.
Thank you to Dick Mouse. But yes.
No, this is classic.
The thing is, if you think about it, Richard Band, here's a couple things that I'm going for. Richard Band did the music, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Richard Band is obviously Charles Band's brother, and he does all that, and I think he gives all the movies that he does the score for like a legitimacy that maybe it wouldn't otherwise get. For instance, like, when you have the Puppet Master, right? You got like, especially the first one, where you're like, "What the shit?" There's just a bunch of little derp derp, you know. But then you hear the Puppet Master score, and it's like, "Oh shit, this is some real stuff." Right,
right.
And so I feel like that gave some to it. This did. I feel like maybe part of the reason that it wasn't huge is it took a while to get into, and like the final act is when you got all the sweet ass like practical effects, all like the kind of not Ghostbuster-y, but like kind of like the proton packs and like the lasers and stuff like that kind of stuff.
And
right?
They had a good explosion on the house. You know,
both
really,
of these movies had a house explosion too. Yeah. This one was better though because it was real. The other one was fake.
Dude, you got to blow up a house. If you get the budget to blow up a house, you're blowing up a house.
That's why everyone loves Phantasm so much. They blow up that house in the end of the first one and the beginning of the second.
I love Phantasm.
Amazing. Yeah, I love it too.
You know, greatest line ever, Phantasm. Look, there's a door. There might be something behind it.
Yeah. I would have guessed.
Boy.
Or I would have guessed.
Boy.
Hey, yo, you mother. Because he says that too, I love. Oh, yeah. I love that one, like a lot.
But, I mean, this is, you know, I don't know. I've never heard this before.
I've
never seen it. Completely buried. Was it, did you say 6.2?
Yeah, it was high.
Which surprises me.
Well, let me. Okay, so let me.
Hold on. Personally, I would switch the Dunwich Horror and Resurrected.
You know, I actually thought that too. You know what I mean? I actually did think that too.
I would have given the Dunwich Horror a 6.2, where, I mean, what is 5.4 on IMDb or something like that, which isn't bad for horror.
It's good. It's good.
You know, yeah. But it kind of reminded me, what do we watch, Elves?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of, you know, with that same vein, you know, that type of thing, you know, early 90s, you know, type of thing.
It had 100% less Grizzly Adams, too, so.
Dude, Grizzly Adams is a saint.
What did I just say to you? What? Why'd you have to point at me all aggressive?
I get all emotional.
No shit. But the thing is what did happen with this is the production company went out of business right before it went to a couple of film festivals.
Okay.
It went directly to video. And so that's really what happened. It had nothing to do with boobs.
But as a kid, I used to like haunt video stores. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this one.
I don't remember seeing this jacket.
No,
you know?
I didn't see this until, within the last 5 years, to be honest with you. And it's like, I saw it and I'm like, well, that probably sucks because if it came from that time and I didn't see it, it has to suck. Right.
Now, you'd seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This actually reminds me of a little bit of another story by H.P. Lovecraft, Herbert West Reanimator.
Mm.
Both are about bringing people back to life.
Right. Right.
Or et cetera, you know, things/people/et cetera. And I say et cetera because in this one, they had those half like dead bodies that were, you know, they would burn them. But then in Reanimator 2, there were some things like an eyeball with a hand walking around,
God, I love that movie.
But Reanimator was more done with science, and this is done with necromancy and stuff like that.
Right.
I like this one. It's shocking. It doesn't blow my socks off. It's shocking that I didn't see this, so it's that good. Anyway.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I say give this one a definite watch. Slog through the first bit though. I feel like that's it because it's like, man, okay, already. Let's get into some shit.
I know. It's like, are you guys gonna bone at least in the beginning? Like, what's going on?
No, it's like, why am I so interested in this private March the detective March? Because it's like, first of all, he's like kind of he's cool, I guess, but it's like, I don't care that he sleeps there. And let's have a whole part about him changing his shirt. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Let's get on with this.
And there was one part when
I don't know why I got so mad. I didn't feel I wasn't that mad while I was watching it, but I was like, now I think about it, I'm like, come on, get less of him and more of Ward. You know,
right. Well, who's the actor that played Damone that was in this?
Let's see, his name was Robert Romanus.
Right.
It's
Lonnie Peck. So there was a scene when Lonnie Peck is like talking, and he's like, come on, you know, you got this. And it's like, it was completely Damone. I was thinking, your mom is all right. When trying to talk to kids and they go to see Cheap Trick.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I got those tickets to Van Halen. Did you want those?
He looks the same. So it's like, he looks just a little older. But
yeah, it was like 10 years.
Yeah, but he looks like still pretty young. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. That fucker.
It's like, oh, I was thinking, oh, fuck you, Damone. Ratner was a good guy.
I know. I could tell you the exact time you did that, too. Because I'll look at what time you texted me. Oh, good. He just texted me another gif about a guy in the film. Oh, he's enjoying this one. How about that?
It's like, hold on. That's fucking Ramon. Yeah. Damone, I mean.
Anyway. So there you go. I like this one. Yeah. Like I said, maybe we'll do another H.P. Lovecraft. We won't have to go into such. God, we talked for a lot. I feel like being quiet now. I'm a little tired from how much talking, which is a first for me.
It's a Friday night. I don't know. I'm
glad this actually works out because I'm trying to talk shit about Taylor Swift all night long. So it might be good that I got it all out now.
Get it out now.
Call us in with any feedback, you guys. 385-351-9273. Thanks, Darian, for the call. We appreciate it. And, we'll think about that bone saw. And since it's my turn next time, and I'm kind of late, we'll see. We may see. Because, what's funny is, like, life happens. Like, we used to be really good podcasts. I used to spend more time, like interacting with, a podcast, like, brotherhood, you know, but it's like shit happens. Kids get older, you know, you go through life experiences, you get more responsibility at your job and all this stuff.
Pandemic.
Like that. The pandemic would have been even better though, because it's like, I ain't doing shit except for staying home and going to your house every Friday and Saturday night. It just happens. And so we kind of fell out of contacting each other a lot. So it's actually really nice to hear from, but let's do that. Make sure to tell all your friends and check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. But before you do any of that, visit CorpseCollective.com. Check out some of the other stuff we've got going on there. I'm going to put another movie up there this weekend that you can watch and might have boobies. But we shall see. But have you got anything else for the folks?
No.
All right. So from the Corpse Cast, we will catch you guys later.
Bye.